there's a reason for this, because I think a lot of times we feel like we're just kind of coasting through life. We're just doing the bare minimum. We complain a lot. We tire easily. We're not ready to take on anything new. We just kind of are going through the motions and hoping nobody really calls us on anything. And if they do, they'll have to listen to us complain a little bit more. Our hearts aren't always engaged in what we're doing. We're just kind of doing it because it's what we've always done. It's like as if life is on autopilot, and we're just going to do what we need to do to get through. Okay, that's it. And in fact, I had one of my favorite stories in my favorite list, the word blah. Okay, if the word blah is in the dictionary, and it is, maybe it has our picture right beside it, huh? As descriptive of what the word blah means. In fact, I think, yeah, there you go. Yeah. because that's us a lot of times. And we're frustrated more than we think we are, more than we think we should be. Again, we find fault with just about everything. We feel overlooked. We feel left out. The tedium of boredom gets to us. We spend the majority of our time trying to figure out how to just get by. And again, I mean, you might say, well, that may be me, and I'm not going to admit it, okay? That's okay. That's all right. That's why I want to do this sermon series, Living Like I Mean It. Because we are a people who honestly need to be, and this is kind of the purpose of this whole series, we'll be moved to become bolder in our faith. We'll become more involved in our relationship with Jesus. We'll become more of a worshiper. We'll become excited about who God is and what His purposes are in our lives. That's why I wanted to look at this series. Because we need to kind of get ourselves recharged for serving God. And what makes Galatians the right book to do that? Well, maybe have you read the book of Galatians? You may want to read through that. In fact, I'd encourage you to read it every day. It'll take you probably about 18 to 20-some minutes to read it. But I want you to become very well acquainted with this book, because we're going to spend probably through the first week of September going through the book of Galatians. And we're going to be looking at some people who were not living a very exciting faith. In fact, there's a strong push to get them to go back to some old ways of life. And, you know, it's just a good place for us to kind of land for a while. Again, living like I mean it. And today we're going to kind of focus on a little bit more than that. But some of the history of the book of Galatians is something that probably I need to kind of ask you to pay attention here. Because even though the word is not used in Scripture, the word Judaizers is the word that is used to describe the people who were causing a lot of problems to the churches in Galatia. And basically they were saying, okay, these were people who said, you know, we love Jesus, okay, but if you want to be a good follower of Jesus, then you must also observe all the rituals, all the things that the Jewish people did. You know, the food laws, the months of celebration, the sacrificial system, if you were a guy, circumcision, you know, all those, you have to obey all those rules. And, of course, there was a lot of confusion about that. It's like, you want me to do what? Well, yeah, if you're going to be a good Christian, you need to do all these things. Now, this wasn't what Paul said. In fact, he writes immediately to refute those ideas. But the Judaizers, I have a little statement here. The Judaizers were Christians, probably Pharisees, according to Acts 15, who with good intentions sought to supplement Paul's gospel by requiring the basics of the law. Again, this may not make a whole lot of sense to you, but that's why we read the Old Testament. Remember the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and all that's said back there about the law and all the sacrifices? These people were saying, yes, we believe Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Lord, but you need to get your act together if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, and we're going to tell you what that needs to look like. You need to observe all the Jewish rituals and laws. Well, again, you can say, do we do that today? No, we don't. But we do some things that are similar to it, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. Paul will make reference that the people of Galatia can't see that what they're doing is wrong. They can't see that this is all out of place, and this is not what it means. In fact, what I think what's going on here is they'd heard the gospel message. that Jesus is raised from the dead, that He is the Lord, that in Him is forgiveness, forgiveness that observing the law could never give, but yet you're not good enough unless you keep the Old Testament law. You know, the Ten Commandments, again, those are good things to keep. You found new life in Jesus, which is wonderful, but the Judaizers, again, become familiar with that term because, again, even though it's not used in the Scripture, it's a word used to describe who these people were that were opposing Paul and causing all kinds of problems. Again, a little confusing, but again, let me help clear this up here. The Judaizers were people who said they followed Jesus. They were Jewish. They were probably Pharisees. And what they were saying is that it's not enough to say that you follow Jesus. You must also follow and be a good Jew. Well, that's kind of hard if you're not a Jewish person. They said, well, that's okay. Just do the things that we tell you to do. Essentially, the issue is whether or not faith in Jesus is enough. Does one need to have faith in Jesus and do certain rituals and observe certain days in order to be acceptable to God? You got that question? Does one need to have faith in Jesus but also observe certain rituals, observe certain days, again, men circumcised, and go through all the sacrificial system of the Old Testament in order to be acceptable to God? You say, well, I don't think so. No, we don't. Okay. Well, again, that's good. That's good that you're thinking that way. Again, a little bit more of the history on this. Some of the background, we know in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, that many of the priests did become followers of Jesus. And so when they did, they brought with them all their fancy stuff and all their rituals. But there's another issue in here that I think needs to be brought out. And that is the idea of control. The Pharisees, you know, again, saw all these people coming to follow Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. But here's all these people. And here's this guy coming from a Gentile background. He's not a Jew. And he hasn't had a bath in 3 weeks. And he eats food with his fingers. And he doesn't use a napkin. He's got food running down inside of him. But he says he loves Jesus. So the Pharisees are saying, well, you can't be a follower of Jesus and eat with your fingers and have food slobbering down your side. And that's disgusting. You can't be a follower of Jesus. And of course, people were saying, huh? So the Pharisees kind of stepped in and said, we're going to control this. We're going to make sure that these people who are following Jesus, that they are pure, that they are the kind of people that we know God would want. Okay. And there was prejudice. The Jewish people were prejudiced against the Gentiles. In fact, one of the most humorous stories that we won't have time to look at it today, but I think it's humorous. Remember the story of Cornelius? When Cornelius he has the vision from God, and he sends for Peter. Peter comes and arrives, knocks on the door, and says, okay. Instead of saying, well, I'm here to tell you about Jesus, he says, why am I here? Well, you know, what do you want? Well, you know what? You're a Gentile. I'm a Jew. You are not a Jew. Why am I here? Why did you send for me? Not even at all thinking that these people need to hear about Jesus. That did not enter Peter's mind until the whole conversation begins with Cornelius, and they talk about division, all this kind of stuff. Then the light goes off in Peter's head, and he says, oh, now I know that God is not prejudiced like I am. Again, I think it's a humorous story. So again, there was that prejudice. And so you can kind of look, just kind of add all this together here. And the Judaizers, these are people who, again, wanted people to become Jewish or to clean up their act as they were following Jesus. They followed Paul pretty much wherever he went. Again, there's a lot of error thinking, and we're going to look at some of that this morning. So, what does all this mean? Okay, what does this mean to live a life like I mean it? Well, the first phrase I'm going to use this morning, it comes from Paul, where he says, I'm not a people pleaser. And by the time we get through with this today, I think you're going to say, I'm not a people pleaser either, because we're going to go right for the jugular veins on some of these things. People pleasers. You ever been around people pleasers? They tend to agree with everything you say. They don't want everybody to feel bad. They just try to get along with everybody and, you know, smile and not say anything that's going to cause people to argue. You know, it's not like a family reunion, huh? It's about getting people to think good of you. And Paul says, no, I'm not a people pleaser. And I got to thinking about that. You know what? And our faith is too important not to talk about it. In spite of, you know, you're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. Well, I talk about both, and sometimes I probably should keep my mouth shut, but honestly, there are things that faith is too important not to talk about, and in our culture today, we kind of just put it back in a corner and don't bring it out unless it's a special holiday when we think people need to hear something about faith. So we're going to look at today. Here's our plan. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of the book of Galatians and do a little bit of Bible study. And from that, we're going to see what it means to live for Christ like I mean it. Okay? That's what we're going to do. So we're going to start with the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Galatians chapter 1, 1 to 5. And I've entitled this section, The Awkward Hello. And again, I'll talk about that, but let's read the passage. Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I say that's kind of the awkward hello, because that's as good as it gets. If you read anything in the book of Galatians, we'll read the passage after that in just a moment. And he begins with saying, I'm really astonished at you. Paul doesn't usually begin his letters to the epistle, to his letters to the churches. If you read the book of Philippians, it's not like that at all. The book of Philippians begins like this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And on he goes, talking about, I'm so proud of you. He doesn't say that about the churches in Galatians. He doesn't say, I'm proud of you. He says, I'm really ticked off at you. He's mad at them. Why? Because they have really blown it as far as what it means to live for Jesus. They have believed lies, and there's some perceptions that need to be corrected. Because, again, that short introduction that he gives here, just a few verses, he's not saying hi and howdy and all this kind of warm, fuzzy stuff. He's just simply going right to the jugular vein and saying, forget all this. Grace to you and from Jesus. But let me get right to the meat of all this. And part of the problem here was because the Judaizers didn't really want to consider Paul an apostle. They were kind of like, well, you know, Paul, yeah, he's not really a genuine guy. He's okay, but he's not really genuine. In fact, we don't even think he's really an apostle. Now, if you do a little bit of Bible study on this, you'll see in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, they had criteria by which one could be called an apostle. And that criteria is that one must have walked with Jesus since his baptism by John the Baptist, as well as being a resurrection or a witness to the resurrection. And of course, at that particular time that Jesus walked the earth, Paul was persecuting the church. He was, who cares? He didn't like him. And so they're saying, he could not have been. Well, again, those who opposed Paul said, he can't be authentic because he doesn't fit the mode of being an apostle. As far as these people were showing up, they said, nah, the Judaizers said, Paul is no good. He's just no good. Well, again, but it does need to be noted here that Paul does meet that criteria, that he did see the risen Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9:1 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, you can read those passages in the manuscript. You can go follow all that if you want to do more study on that. But he says, yeah, I did see Jesus. And if you got trouble with that, with him just saying that, go talk to Ananias. Because after he was still named Saul. They took Saul, who becomes named Paul, okay? They took him into Damascus to a guy named Ananias. And Ananias says, I don't want to talk to him. And God says, you're going to talk to him because you need to tell him about Jesus. Okay, so Ananias is convinced that he really did hear from Jesus. Go talk to him. Ananias is convinced, yeah, he really did hear from Jesus. So you don't want to believe Paul, believe Ananias, who was a big skeptic to begin with. And of course, you always have Thomas. Jesus appeared to Thomas. And go back and research that a little bit, and you'll see that Jesus just showed up. And Thomas says, well, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and in his side, I won't believe. And of course, Jesus is there. And he says to Thomas, go ahead, touch, go ahead. And there was how do you get through the door? We don't know. But Jesus is just there. So you got to be careful when you limit things that way. And the strong language here is pretty much a rebuttal. Paul says, I'm not a people pleaser. That's not what I'm about. And what's at stake for us is why we even need to do this. It's whether or not people are going to believe a lie or the truth. Do you know anybody who believes a lie? I know plenty of people who are believing lies. It's just a whole lot easier to believe a lie than it is the truth, because the truth means you got to do something about it. That's what's at stake for us. Us believing a lie or believing the truth. It's about perpetuating a lie or the truth. It's about having hope in Jesus, or is our hope in a religious system? It's about understanding forgiveness and sin, or is all this just a good idea? It's about influencing our friends for Jesus or not. You know, again, it's a strange way to say hello, but this opening statement really is, why should I care? Why should you care about this whole thing here in the book of Galatians? Why should you care? Because, first of all, faith is about my witness and your witness. What's going on here is too important to say that it doesn't matter. It does. Your witness, my witness. People are watching us to see whether or not we have anything to say about Jesus. Faith is about the truth of Jesus that I live out. You know, if I don't live an authentic life, then how will people know who Jesus really is? I need to demonstrate that. Faith is about my new life in Christ. Again, do I show what newness of Christ looks like, or do I resemble like Christ hasn't made any difference in my life? Faith is about my rescue by Jesus from this present world. And again, you just kind of a Bible study note here, where it says that He rescued us. Paul says, Christ has rescued us from this evil world. I mean, that whole statement there, that idea of rescue is a violent word. We've been rescued. I mean, this world is violent, and it's full of evil. Now, that may make some of you feel a little uncomfortable for me to say that, but this is an evil world. And I'll give you a good example. A couple of weeks ago, the American press and the world was clamoring, Pride Week. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. And then this last week, on the same television networks, they were playing God Bless America. Wait a minute. How can we exist believing lies but asking God to bless America? I'm not going to that direction, but I just want you to see here. I want you to see that this is an evil world that we live in. Why should I care? Because your faith is too important not to talk about. God wants us to be saved. God did all the work. Again, this is all so critical. So what do we do here? What do we do right now? Again, let me give you a few questions to think about. Do we listen to Scripture and what Paul is saying here and take these words seriously? Are you going to listen to these words seriously? You're going to say, oh, that's too much, I can't understand it. You can understand it. That's why we're preaching on it. You can understand this. Do we listen to Scripture? Does it matter to you that Paul was spoken directly to by Jesus? And do we hear these words as godly counsel and direction about our relationship with God? Do you hear those words as speaking to us about our personal relationship? Do you want to take time to examine your life as much as what Paul is saying, the churches in Galatians? You guys need to examine your lives. You need to do some serious work on all that, some serious listening, some serious changes. So, okay, let's move on here. The obviously annoyed, and I say this carefully, that Paul is annoyed. And you know what? There are annoying sounds that we don't want to hear, okay? You know, fingers on a chalkboard, those kind of things. One of the most annoying sounds that I think I hear, and it's because of the cell phone. I have a friend who will call me, And he proceeds to, I don't know exactly what he does, but all I hear on this, on my end, is just, you know, it's a horrible sound. And I said, you know, hang up the phone. I can't talk. I can't even hear you. I have no idea why his phone does that. And he says, well, it's an old phone. Get a new one. Okay, let's read the text here. And again, I want you to see Paul is annoyed. And that's why I said, living like I mean it, I'm not a people pleaser. This is what he says, Galatians chapters 1, verses 6 to 10. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. It's pretty strong, huh? Verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Again, we're going to just jump right back into the text here. Paul says he's obviously annoyed that they are so quickly turning from the gospel that they had heard and are saying, okay, well, maybe we need to observe the food laws. Maybe, you know, guys need to go out and get circumcised. Okay. Quickly turning. I'm surprised. In fact, there is a biblical reference here to when the Israelites were out. Remember when they were out in the wilderness? And they received the Ten Commandments. Before they got the Ten Commandments, remember the story of the golden calf and Aaron building the golden calf, all that? In fact, this is what it says in Exodus. God told Moses, go down because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them. God said, they've been quick to turn away from what I've commanded them. And you might say, well, how could they do that? Because, I mean, they saw God deliver them out of Egypt. They saw God deliver them through the Red Sea. I mean, walking through on dry land. They saw God destroy Pharaoh's army. They saw God provide water in the wilderness. They saw God give them food in the wilderness. And you say, how could they just walk away from all that and say, this is our God now, a golden calf? How could they do that? Well, I have an idea. It's because people like chasing after something that makes them feel comfortable. Something that they can feel especially religiously comfortable about. People do that all the time. As difficult as it was for the church in Galatia to grasp the same kind of thing, that they were quickly turning away. They were abandoning the power of God's forgiveness. They were walking away from all the things that they had been told are theirs in Jesus, and were going into this whole idea of becoming Jewish. Again, we do this. We like returning to ways that make us feel comfortable. We do this. We like to feel good, spiritually comfortable. Okay, we do. I mean, you know, I've heard people say, oh, I've gone to church, I did my job for the week, I'm good. You ever know anybody like that? Yeah, I had a lot of people like, I went, okay. We used to call it the 3 and 10 club when I was in college. That you go to 3 services of the church and give a tithe, man, you're in. You're in. You've done now what you need to do, and you should feel comfortable spiritually. We like doing things that make us feel comfortable. And again, that's kind of where these people were landing in the churches in Galatia. If I can feel good about myself, then okay, that's what I want. I want to feel good. I want to feel wonderful and fuzzy and warm and all this kind of stuff. Well, maybe not warm today. But we like adding things to our faith that make us feel comfortable and make us seem spiritual. Now, again, I don't mean to offend anybody. Let me throw some things on the plate that we like adding to our faith that make us feel comfortable. Astrology. People add astrology to their faith all the time as if it's a good thing. Kind of, oh yes, look at this. I had a friend of mine, he said, have you ever noticed where they put the astrology stuff in the newspaper? Next to the comic section. How true that is, huh? Yeah. You want to believe what you want to believe, but, and then there's the idea of karma. I have a friend of mine, he's big in karma. that, you know, you'll get yours. I'm just going to sit back and I'm not going to, you know, again, forgiveness has nothing to do. I'm just going to sit back and God's going to, He's going to take care of you. That's karma, right? But I like feeling like that, that God's going to take care of him. Yeah, it sounds biblical, but it's not. There's the idea of fate. And this one, boy, don't get me started on this one. That little phrase, God must have needed another angel. Please don't go there. Okay. There's the glitzy idea that God won't send anybody to hell. There was a book written by an author not too long ago that says love wins. And it's the idea that, hey, you can live a life of hell here on this earth because you're still going to go to heaven because love wins in the end. That's not the scripture I read, but again, these are the kind of ideas that attract people and give them a false sense of security, make them feel good about where they are. And they believe these kind of things. Again, obviously, that's not how it is, but there are people who believe that as if it's in scripture. And again, we look back at what Paul said. People are drawn to ideas that seem plausible, but they're not. Again, we read in Acts chapter 15. This is the critical issue. Acts chapter 15. This is where the problem arises. Some of them who belonged to the part of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. This is the other gospel that Paul said people were listening to. They were listening to another gospel that said, Jesus is not enough to give you salvation. He's not enough. And of course, that's not true. He is enough. But that's what Galatians is all about. And that whole proposal about the people need to be circumcised in order to follow God, no, that was voted down, and people said, no, that's not how God is. But this is, in essence, what the other gospel was about, that you need to learn all these other things in order to be good. And again, guilt drives a lot of people to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, when I was a kid, in fact, I think probably still today you'll hear this in some churches, you can't wear makeup and be a Christian. You ever hear that? Yeah, but there are some church groups that say, no, Paul says that women should be not adorning themselves. And so, no, you can't wear makeup. Really? Well, there would be others who'd say that, Christians shouldn't play cards. You ever hear that? Well, I heard that a lot when I was a kid because I liked playing cards. You shouldn't work on Sunday. You can't go to movies. You shouldn't go to dances. You must wear a suit on Sunday when you go to church. I mean, do you see where all that? You can't be a good Christian without doing what I tell you to do. By the way, it's not in the Bible, but that's sure good ideas, right? That's what the book of Galatians says. Here's all these people have these ideas about what it means to be a good follower of Jesus and to be pure and to be holy. And no, the concept is that one is sinful and unaccepted to God. And if not conforming to the standards that I present to you, well, then you're not really a believer in Jesus. So again, Paul says he's obviously annoyed. He's annoyed at all this. He says, I'm astonished. And the word astonished is really pretty bland when you figure out how upset he really is. And he says these words in verses 8 and 9. Even if I or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. And as we have already said, so I say to you again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, that's pretty strong language. And that's why we said earlier that this is an unusual way to say hello. He's not saying wonderful things. He's just simply saying, he's going right for the jugular vein saying, you guys are wrong. If I or an angel from heaven preaches to you a gospel contrary to what's already been preached, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that salvation is in Him alone, let Him be accursed. There is no other gospel. But yet, here we are, 2019, and we have other gospels floating around. You might say, what do you mean, other gospels? We have the gay gospel. You ever heard of that? Sure you have. You just probably haven't paid much attention to it. It's where that homosexuality is equal to heterosexuality, and that God doesn't care about homosexual marriage. That God doesn't care. That's the gay gospel, in a nutshell. Have you bought into that? There's the gospel of what I call the Da Vinci Code. Remember when that came out, that people said, aha, I knew that was all a scam. That Jesus really did have a family, that Mary Magdalene was really his wife. And okay, people bought into that, and they have just walked away from their faith because that's true. Oh, my goodness. There's the gospel of universalism that everybody gets saved. All roads lead to the same peak at the mountain. No. There's the prosperity gospel where God wants you healthy, wealthy, happy. And if you're suffering or if you're poor, there must be something spiritually wrong with you. Again, prosperity gospel gets a lot of attention nowadays. There's the New Age movement. There's the legalism movement. In fact, I think the legalism movement, yeah. Next slide here. Next slide. Oh, never mind. We got it. Earth's gone already. Okay. But we have all these different things, legalism, that if you want to be perfect, I'll tell you how to do it. You want to be acceptable to God? I'll tell you how to do that. By the way, some of that stuff may not be in the Bible, but that's okay. You'll have to trust me on this. Anyway, let me add to this just one more piece. Other gospels that people just kind of act like, I don't know. One is the Mormons. In fact, let me read you a statement about the Mormons. And it's in the manuscript. You can kind of read this. On September 22, 1823, Joseph Smith claims an angel named Moroni revealed to him, among other artifacts, a set of 40 to 60 pound golden plates under a stone of considerable size near his father's farm. 4 years later, at 18 months, after being convicted for fraud, at admitting in court, he told people he had necromantic powers. I mean, powers of death, okay? Smith says that Moroni allowed him to take the plates home and translate them from the Reformed Egyptian into English, thus creating the Book of Mormon. Now, I know there are many Christians who say, well, what difference does it make if you're a Mormon or whatever? Let me show you a couple of the other gospel beliefs that the Mormons have. Mormons claim that God the Father was once a man, that he progressed to godhood. In fact, one of the ideas of Mormonism is that you too can be a god of your own universe someday. Challenge me on that and look it up, see if I'm wrong. The Encyclopedia of Mormonism teaches that there is a mother in heaven who is the Heavenly Father in glory, perfection, compassion, wisdom, and holiness. I'm not making this stuff up, okay? Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was the firstborn spirit child of the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Mother. Mormons believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Now again, I say this because I'm not out to be a people pleaser, okay? We're just going to have this out here because I want to live like I mean it. This is too serious to neglect. Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus was created by Jehovah as the Archangel Michael before the physical of the world existed. And again, we can talk the rest of the day about that. Jehovah's Witness believe that when Jesus was born on earth, he was a mere human and not God in flesh. Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus was resurrected spiritually from the dead, but not physically. In fact, I asked a Jehovah's Witness one time, I said, where is the body of Jesus? Well, God has put it someplace special. I said, well, where is that? He said, well, I don't think we know. I said, but what happened to the body? Well, it's caught. But so we say Jesus rose physically from the dead. Jehovah's Witness said, no, he didn't. Again, okay. Why does all this matter? Paul is not going to let people think that it doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus. It does matter. Another gospel, which really isn't gospel at all, is you can be wrong, sincerely wrong. You can be sincere about what you believe, but sincerely wrong. Okay, just say it clearly. All of this is said not to make people happy, not to bring them a sense of security, but rather a rousing challenge to see if they really believe what they true is true, whether it's really going to make a difference. Paul says, if I were trying to please people, I wouldn't talk this way. So, where are we in all this? Living like I mean it. When I first introduced this message this morning, I said that the challenge is for us to be bold in our faith, to be effective, and to not be about the business of pleasing people. And I'm not like the guy trying to sell you a used car. You ever been around a used car salesman? He's going to tell you what a good eye you have for cars. He's going to tell you, yeah, I didn't see that. You saw that, man. You're really perceptive. He's going to try and sell you something, right? He's a people pleaser. That's how he sells cars. Living like I mean it. Let me give you some things of what this means. Number one, living like I mean it means I'm more concerned about the truth than I am being politically correct. Now, you need to know the power behind that if you're really going to stand there, because probably your kids or your friends are going to reap some of the pain of this. If you really believe that being politically correct is not important, then you need to know you're going to be harassed about that. Your kids probably will feel some of that pain, and because that's how it often works. Just realize, you're probably going to be persecuted. Number two, living like I mean it means that doctrine is more important to me, and I can't and I won't compromise on it. I won't sit and listen to somebody say, well, you know, we're not sure if the resurrection really happened. I'm not going to sit and listen to that. Why? Because I'm not going to tolerate somebody saying something like that without it being challenged as untrue. Again, that's where we are here with this whole reason why we're studying the book of Galatians. Living like I mean it. Living like I mean it, number three, means that living a life that reflects my faith and trust in Jesus is critical to me. And I want to do everything I can to influence people for Christ. Everything I can. I want to challenge you. Everything you do, all the words that come out of your mouth, need to be able to influence people for Christ. Everything. And not just what you think is good stuff. And again, probably number four, this is really the important one. Living like I mean it means I love you too much to pretend living a lie, living for Christ, doesn't matter. I love you too much. I love you too much not to say something. I love you too much. And again, the critical piece behind all this is upon whether or not I really love people. Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, about how much he loved the people in Galatia. He says, you know, and he's talking about his eyes. He says, if you could have, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. That's a statement that talks about how much they knew he loved them. And you know yourself that unless you love somebody and you start talking to them, they're just going to say you're being critical, you're being judgmental. They're not going to listen. But if they know you love them, they'll listen. If they know you love them, they'll listen. Living like I mean it means that I'm not a people pleaser. And I love you too much to live a lie. Well, let me ask the worship team to come on back up, and we're going to wind this up here. You've heard this little statement, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Well, I'm a firm believer in all this. And again, people say, well, you need to have rules if you're going to follow Christ. You need to have guidelines if you're going to follow Christ. I mean, you can't just go out there and be an idiot and a jerk and live a life that is of no account. I think this is covered under this one statement. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Does Jesus say, go ahead and live a life of sex-filled fun? Don't care about anything else. Is that acceptable to Jesus? No. If you love Jesus, you wouldn't live like that. That's another message. But you see, that's the point. We don't need to add any of the guidelines to all this. Scripture has given us plenty of things to work with, plenty of ideas to talk about, because it's about who God is in our lives and who Jesus is. Scripture gives us the motivation to live a holy life, and that motivation is the love of Jesus. That's it. It's our faith that moves us on, not a set of rules and regulations. It's not how good do I look, but where's my faith in all this? So here's our questions. The questions are a little bit intense here. Who are the people in your world that have bought into another gospel? You know them. It's obvious. The people in your world who believe a lie. You know, you hear them spout off things that, oh, it really doesn't matter what you believe. Oh, it really doesn't matter about this. And, oh, you know, I've never really believed that Jesus did this. And, oh, you know, all those kind of crazy things. You know those people. Here's my question. Who are the people you need to begin loving so much deeper so that you can make an eternal difference in their lives? Who are they? And will you begin doing that loving so you can at least talk with them? Question number two. It really does matter what one believes about Jesus. Do we believe that salvation is complete in Jesus? But then at the same time, do we kind of say, oh, well, he was such a good person. Such a good person. Didn't have a relationship with Christ, but he was a good person, so he's going to heaven. Mm-mm. Don't believe that. Don't even tolerate that. You may need to keep your mouth shut. But honestly, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. It really does matter what you believe about Jesus. Question number three, will I today begin loving people more, and especially those who are living a lie, only so that I can share the truth of Christ with them? And of course, the last question is, what do I need to personally do because Jesus Christ is Lord? As I said, living like I mean it. We're followers of Jesus. Let's live like we mean it. And first of all, that means not being a people pleaser, talking the truth. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song. You got something you want to talk about, something you want to pray about, I'll be in the back. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.